Good morning. It's good to be with you, brethren, this morning. I'd like to start by asking you a simple-ish question. That question is, so there's nothing in this glass, right? I want to ask you, how heavy is this glass of water? Okay, any guesses on how heavy this glass of water is?
8 ounces.
8 ounces. Anyone else? Pound and a half. All right. I like that. The answer to that question is, it depends on how long I hold on to it. How heavy this glass is depends on how long I hold on to it. Now, if I hold on to this glass for another 60 seconds or so, probably, maybe 2 minutes, you're probably going to start to see my arm start to visually shake a little bit. You might start to see it already, but that might just be a little bit of natural nerves. If I were to hold on to this for another 30 minutes or so, you'd start to see a real struggle. Now, if I were to bear down and hold on to this glass of water for 8 hours, 12 hours, a full day, if that's possible, I would probably be sore. I'd drop it at some point. I wouldn't be able to hold on to it much longer. The weight of this glass would accumulate over time, and I wouldn't be able to hold on to it anymore. How about this? How heavy is this gallon of water? I'm already starting to shake a little bit. The weight of this is substantially greater than the weight of that glass of water. The burdens that we have in this life, the burdens that we all go through, that we all endure, are much like the glass of water, as much as they are like the gallon of water. The small burdens that we have in life, we can hold on to for a time. But over the course of time, they accumulate. They add up. They get heavy. We struggle with that weight. And we're familiar with the gallons of water that we have in our lives. Those burdens wear instantaneously. As soon as that burden is given to us, we feel the weight of it. Instantly, it becomes a burden. Instantly, it takes us down. It brings us to our knees. This morning, I would like to discuss the topic of burdens in our life, and specifically, how we can carry those in a way that they turn into blessings. Because it's important, it is critical, that we deal with our burdens faithfully and with confidence. If any of you are bearing a burden this morning, then I hope that this lesson can be an encouragement to you. And with that being said, I have a strong inclination that not only do all of us have a burden that we're carrying with us in our lives today, but the majority of us have more than just one burden. The majority of us are carrying multiple burdens with us on a daily basis. Broadly defined, a burden is usually one of three different things. A burden is something that we carry. A donkey is often used as or referred to as a beast of burden. It's an animal that's used to carry weight, a burden, over an extended distance and or a period of time. The weight of that load slowly weighs down on the donkey, encourages stubborn behavior, unwillingness to cooperate, inability to perform at a normal speed. And the same can be said of the burdens that we carry in this life. Also, a burden can be a worry or a sadness. When you worry about something or someone, you have a burden. That worry becomes something that you carry with you. It weighs you down, either over a period of time or immediately, and sometimes both. It occupies your thoughts. It consumes your time. Forces you to put on blinders to other things in your life, to other things that are important, that require your time and attention. And finally, a burden can also be a responsibility, something that you have to do. So naturally, it becomes a burden. Burdens in your life, burdens in my life, certainly aren't limited to those things. A burden can be and is often more specific than, or it's a combination of all three of those things, a worry, a sadness, a responsibility. Approaching and managing our burdens more faithfully and doing so in a righteous manner will enable us to turn our burdens into blessings. For a few minutes here, do me a favor and think about, don't dwell, but think about some of the burdens that you might be carrying in your life today. Maybe a burden in your life is a situation, something that you're going through. Maybe it's something going on at work. Maybe you're worried about a deadline, worried about a project, a decision that needs to be made. Maybe that situation is future employment. Maybe that situation that you're going through, maybe it's related to something that the whole country's going through right now. Maybe that's a situation in your life that has become a burden. Perhaps a burden in your life today involves a relationship. Maybe you're in a friendship that isn't what it used to be for whatever reason, and it's weighing on your mind. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's a lack of communication or some miscommunication that's caused unneeded strife or tension. Because of that, you're now carrying a burden. Maybe a burden is a unsatisfied need. Maybe it's something that you're struggling to obtain, something to get, and you just don't have it yet. An unsatisfied need is certainly a burden. Unemployment, financial problems, infertility, marriage, reconciliation with a loved one. Those are all burdens. And maybe, just maybe, don't everyone squirm at the same time, but maybe a burden in your life is a specific someone. Perhaps, just maybe, shot in the dark, there's someone in your life that is currently a burden to you. Maybe it's a matter of a past wrong, that forgiveness or closure hasn't yet occurred. Maybe it's someone that doesn't know they're a burden. Maybe it's simply just a you problem. Maybe it's as simple as a conflict of personality. Maybe it's not that simple. Maybe these burdens are just glasses of water that you need to set down from time to time, or maybe these burdens are truly gallons that you need to put down. But either way, it is a burden. So enough with the talk about the stressful things, enough thinking or dwelling upon those burdens in our lives. Let's talk about how we can convert those, transition those into blessings. Let's focus on how we deal with them, how we overcome them, how we win and move on. Burdens don't have to be, and burdens aren't inherently bad things. We need to do everything we can to take those burdens and turn them into blessings. Burdens should be looked at as a conduit, as a pathway, as a road to something better, to a good thing. And our perspective will play a huge role in how we view the burdens in our life. Burdens, if you will, need to be looked at in the big picture point of view. And boy, isn't that an easy say, hard do. Take that thing you're struggling with and back away from it and look at it in the big picture. Such an easy say, hard do. When you're in the thick of it, when you're really struggling with it, when you're wrestling with that gallon of water, that big burden, it's difficult to step away and think about, well, in the big picture, in the long term, this is going to be just fine. I'm going to learn from this and grow from this. But we have to do that for the sake of our soul and our salvation. Our perspective matters. Our perspective will dictate the direction that that burden takes us. So the question for all of us is that struggle, that worry, that load that we are carrying right now, where is it going to lead us in the long run? Are we going to manage that into a blessing, a good thing? Or rather, is that burden going to lead to future issues, more worries, more stressful situations? Are we running the burden, or is that burden running us? And that's a serious question to ask. Are we running the burden? Are we letting God take control of it? Are we putting righteous action to take care of that burden? Or is that burden running us? Burdens in our lives should be treated as trips, a short trip, a long trip, either or, but regardless of that duration, they are journeys. A burden is a journey, and we need to ensure that that destination is a blessing. So let's talk about and remind ourselves of the blessings that burdens can and should turn into. That blessing being including, but not primarily, growth. Are you stronger now because of the burden that you went through? Will you be stronger because of the burden that you're currently going through? Because if you can turn that burden into growth, it has become a blessing. What about education? Did you learn something because of the burden? If you did, that burden became a blessing. Patience. Do you now have more patience because of the ability to suffer more, perhaps? If you do and can now, then that burden became a blessing. And finally, are you wiser now? Are you wiser now because of what you went through? Do you know how to handle it better next time? Are you able to share that with someone else that may need it? If so, that burden became a blessing. Burdens aren't inherently bad things. Burdens are necessary for growth. Burdens are necessary for education, for patience, and for wisdom, and certainly other things as well. James, the first chapter, verses 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Count it all joy when you have a burden in your life, even when it hurts, even when you struggle with it, even when it causes pain and tears, even when it consumes you with stress. What are we told to do? We're told to count it all joy. That burden is going to test your faith. That burden is going to weigh on your faithfulness. It's going to push you to make decisions that will impact your righteousness. And once again, how are we to react? We're to count it all joy. Easy say, hard do. Count it joy. Think big picture. Because as we're told in verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Why do we count it all joy when it hurts so bad? Because it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it. It's worth the pain if that result is growth, wisdom, patience, perfection. The burdens are worth the blessings, and the blessings are indeed worth the burdens. You won't fully appreciate blessings until you faithfully bear burdens. And we know that to be true. It's tough to appreciate the good if you never experience a little bit of bad along the way. We're aware of that, right? We can think of examples in our own lives where we don't fully appreciate it unless there was something that we had to struggle through first. I'm not a Kansas City Royals fan, being born and raised in St. Louis, but I think the Kansas City Royals is a good example of going through the bad to be able to fully appreciate the good. And I'm not sure how many baseball fans we have in here, but I remember moving to the Kansas City area in the late fall winter of 2014. And I remember knowing what had perspired up to 2014. From about 1985 to 2014, how much success did the Kansas City Royals have? Not much. What happened in 2014 and 15 and 16 to an extent? Won a World Series. Had success. Was that appreciated more because of the struggle of the previous years? You could see it throughout the city. You could see it throughout the people that were fans of that. Because of the hard times, they were able to appreciate the good times even more. Same was true with the Chiefs last year. You can't appreciate the good fully unless you first go through the struggles, through the rough times. It's tough to appreciate truly the good things if you haven't experienced bad first. And yes, there's a way to bear burdens that is righteous and faithful. There is a way to go through the tough times so that we can fully appreciate and turn those burdens into blessings. In 1 Samuel, the first chapter, we are given the perfect account of how to righteously bear a burden in a way that results in a blessing. The story of Hannah is a resonating example of exactly how we are to handle our trials and our difficulties. When you think of Hannah, did Hannah have any burdens that she was bearing in her life? If you remember 1 Samuel, the first chapter, did Hannah have any burdens in her life? I think of three that happened pretty quickly that we're made aware of. First of those burdens that I can't relate with, and I'm pretty sure none of us can relate with, Hannah shared a husband with another woman. Can you imagine carrying that burden with you? Yes, it's a different culture that we're living in today versus what she was living in. But can you imagine having to share your significant other with someone else? What a burden that would be to constantly know that your significant other, that the love of your life, was sharing a spouse. That would be a tough burden to bury. I don't know if that would be a glass of water or a gallon of water. I guess it depends on the culture of the time. But I imagine that'd be a hefty burden to carry for Hannah. The second burden that Hannah had was the fact that she was barren. That is a gallon of water, something that she carried with her throughout the course of her early life, knowing that her husband's other wife was fruitful and that she wasn't fruitful. That was a burden that Hannah had. Over and over again, a perpetual burden. And then the third burden that Hannah was carrying was her husband. You thought about that one before? Have you ever thought about Elkanah, her husband, being a burden for Hannah? In 1 Samuel, the first chapter in verse 8, Hannah, clearly struggling with being barren, struggling with not being able to provide children for her husband. And her husband has the audacity, I'm not sure how he had the audacity to do this, how he had the courage worked up to be able to say this to Hannah. But he says in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 8, "Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep?'" Excuse me? Did you really just ask me why I'm weeping? "Do you not know your own wife? You don't know why I'm weeping right now." And then he follows that up with, "Why is your heart grieved?" You don't get it, Elkanah? You're still not understanding why that I'm in this place of mourning? And then it gets even better. "Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" I believe there's humor in the scriptures, and I find humor in this particular passage. Does he really think that he was going to be good enough to take away from the fact that she was barren? "Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" What a burden that she was bearing with Elkanah in her life. These were all burdens that she had been bearing for years. Day after day, week after week, the burden was running Hannah, not the other way around. Hannah was in the middle of it. She had glasses of water, she had gallons of water, she had both of them. Hannah was in a dark place. In verse 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, it was described that she was in a place, bitterness of the soul. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Bitter is a bad place to be. If you're not counting your trials and burdens in this life as joy, then most likely your outlook in life is going to be bitter. Why are these things happening to me? Why am I struggling so much? Why would God give me these burdens? You're in a bad place, a bitter place, because those burdens are running you. You blame others, you blame God, you point fingers, you bury yourself in your feelings. But what did Hannah do? What actions did Hannah make to help her with her burden? Did Hannah point fingers? Did Hannah test God? Did Hannah bury herself in her feelings? No. Hannah went to God. Hannah took righteous actions. She prayed. She didn't complain. She didn't whine. She didn't accuse anyone else. She spoke in her heart. She prayed to God. And even though those words weren't heard by Eli, even though Eli didn't hear her, God certainly did. And that's an important lesson for us. Even when it seems like no one else hears us, even when it seems like we're all alone and our prayers aren't heard, God heard Hannah. The Lord knows. The Lord knows our heart regardless of what others know or think they know. Remember that for yourself as well. Remember that for when we are carrying our burdens. But also remember that when we're casting judgment on others, when we're thinking about others and their situation. Believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. It's a mantra in management. The meaning is there, unless you know, then you don't know. We don't know what others are going through truly. We might think we know, but that's between them and God. Be careful to judge others and their situations based off what you think you might know. Instead, listen, ask, wait, pray, and repeat as needed. Let's continue with Hannah's example of faithful burden bearing. She went to God to help her with her burdens. And what did that prayer sound like? Hannah prayed to God and made a promise. Hannah put her faithfulness to the test by making a huge promise. In verse 11, she says, "Give me a son, and he will be yours for the rest of the days of his life." If you just give me one son, I'm not asking for a lot, just give me one son. And if you do, I'm going to give him back to you for the rest of his life. Now, in the context of that, think about that for a minute and remember what the typical tenure was for someone, for a Levite back in those days. Does anybody remember how long a Levite was required to serve in the house of God? Was it their whole life? 25 years. 25 years, from the age of 25 to the age of 50. That was their tenure. That was what was required or expected of them. Hannah was in such a place of need that she says, if you just give me a son, I will give him back to you and give him back to you for life. That's all she wanted. And all she wanted turned into a great promise to God. 25 years was all it took, but she was so weighed down and so worn out from that perpetual pain that she was promising God that if she was blessed with a son, she would give him back for life. Now, our circumstances certainly don't match up with Hannah's, with her situation specifically. But what are you, what are we willing to give back to God if He helps us with our burden? What are you willing to give back to God if He will help you with your burden? When your prayers are answered, when your load is lightened, when He hears your prayers, when your burden is finally lifted, what are you going to do for God in return? Or what have you done for God in return? What have you given back to God in return? When you, when we are blessed by God, do we remember to give back? Or do we develop spiritual amnesia? When we are blessed by God, is it really helping us to grow closer to Him? Or rather, is it enabling us to think that we don't have to do anything in return? Certainly food for thought. Picking up in verse 12, and it happened as she continued to pray, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." Eli judged a book by the cover. Eli thought that he knew someone. He thought that he knew the situation, when in fact he knew nothing. Eli made an assumption based off of someone's situation. Thankfully, Hannah cleared the air and Eli listened. Verse 15, but Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Well, okay then, Eli, what do you have to say for yourself now? Verse 17, then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. That is praiseworthy faith. That is the definition of faith. You know, we have the definition of faith in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But if you're looking for a great example of the definition of faith, that's what it is right here. That's the definition of faith in action. Did Hannah have a baby yet after her conversation with Eli? No, she certainly did not. Was Hannah even pregnant after her conversation with Eli? Absolutely not. But yet, the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. All those years of perpetual pain, all those years of being provoked, all those years of being barren and seeing her husband's other wife have many children. After she prayed to God and talked to Eli, she was no longer bitter. Her face was no longer sad. She had finally put down those glasses of water and the gallons as well. Well, why? What had changed? Had anything really changed in her life? Because she prayed, but yes, more than that, because she prayed and because she believed. You can pray all you want, but if you don't believe, then it means nothing. Even when we believe, it shows, even if nothing has truly happened yet. Make sure to don't trust the situation. Trust the situation changer. Believe in God that He will answer your prayers. Brothers and sisters, we need to believe in God when we pray to Him. Believe in God when we pray to Him. I believe it was Garth Brooks. Actually, I'm pretty sure it was Garth Brooks that wrote the song, "Thank God for Unanswered Prayers." I don't know if that was the name of the song or just a verse in the song. But I don't agree with Garth on that one. I don't believe in that there's such a thing as unanswered prayers. I believe that when we pray and we believe in that prayer, that God will answer that prayer. And He'll answer that prayer in one of four ways. He'll answer with either yes, no, wait, or yes, but even better. Yes, no, wait, or yes, but even better. God will answer our prayers, but we have to believe. And we have to be okay with the response to that prayer. When we believe, we can have true hope in what the future will hold. When we believe, we can experience true joy regardless of the trial or the burden. When we believe, we can have true peace with what God decides. When we believe, we can find contentment in all situations. God kept his promise to Hannah. God relieved Hannah of that burden. And Hannah was able to turn that burden into a blessing. She had her baby. She held true to her promise and gave that baby back to God. That baby being Samuel, named and meaning heard of God. Because God heard her. God heard her prayer. And she followed through on her promise to give him back to God. God kept his promise to Hannah, and he will keep his promises to us. We will not be a beast of burden forever. Give your burdens to God, and he will bless you both in this life and for eternity. If God can turn night into day, then he can turn your burden into a blessing. As we close this morning and offer the gospel invitation, I'd like to ask one more question. What are you doing with the burdens in your life today? One day, two monks were walking through the countryside. They were on their way to another village to help bring in the crops. As they walked, they spied an old woman sitting at the edge of a river. She was upset because there was no bridge, and she could not even get across on her own. The first monk kindly offered, "We will carry you across if you would like." "Thank you," she said gratefully, accepting their help. So the two men joined hands, lifted her between them, and carried her across the river. When they got to the other side, they set her down, and she went on her way. After they had walked another mile or so, the second monk began to complain. "Look at my clothes," he said. "They are filthy from carrying that woman across the river, and my back still hurts from lifting her. I can feel it getting stiff." The first monk just smiled and nodded his head. A few more miles up the road, the second monk griped again. "My back is hurting me so badly, and it is all because we had to carry that silly woman across the river. I cannot go any farther because of the pain." The first monk looked down at his partner, now lying on the ground, moaning. "Have you wondered why I'm not complaining?" he asked. "Your back hurts because you are still carrying the woman. But I set her down 5 miles ago." If you're carrying a burden with you this morning and need to set it down, we encourage you to do that. Don't carry it any longer. If it's a burden that one of us can help you with, then please, let us help you set down that glass or gallon of water, whatever it might be. Galatians 6:1-2, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Help us help you. Help us help each other with these burdens. However, if it's a burden of sin, and you've yet to come to Jesus and have those sins washed away, then we encourage you to consider your soul and your salvation this morning. You've heard the word. Now all that's left to do is to believe it. Truly believe it. Confess and repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Be baptized so your sins can be washed away. That's the water that saves, not the blanket of sin that currently covers you. Matthew 11:28-30. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." With that, we'll offer the gospel invitation. If you have need of baptism this morning, if you'd like to come forward and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, or if there's anything else that we can help you with this morning, please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.